If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are in chapter 3, continuing our study. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read through the first four verses of chapter 4 because that's really the best place to stop. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 3 and the first four verses of chapter 4. Reading from the Christian Standard Bible, this is the reading of God's Word. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. "Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things, which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people.' In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring.' God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways." While they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them, because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. We'll talk about an undeniable miracle. Here was a guy who day after day was carried to the temple area and placed in the same place day after day after day in order to do the one thing he could do for a living. And that was to beg. In many parts of the world, this is still a routine sight. People who are physically disabled, who are placed in public places to beg for money. That was the norm. That was expected. But I want us, first of all, to consider, why was this guy still lame? Why was he still disabled after Jesus had been to Jerusalem on several occasions? Jesus had been to the temple area more than once. Jesus had the power to heal. So what's this guy still disabled for? Why is he still there? You know, sometimes we think that if God can do something, He needs to do it right now. Have you ever prayed like that? I have. I know God has the power. Why doesn't He do it now? Well, in this case, it was because the time for this man to be healed was going to be after Jesus' resurrection through the apostles' proclamation in order that the multitudes might have further testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah and that He's been raised to life. Do you remember the timing with Lazarus? Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus, someone he loved. His sisters, Mary and Martha, were dear friends of Jesus. He loved them as well. They sent word, Lazarus is dying. And Jesus waited and didn't come until after Lazarus had died and been buried. What's with that? That was God's timing. That was obedience to the Father's will. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. God has all power. But God also is wise and loving and knows what is best. He works all things together for our good. But that's not always what we want, and certainly not the way we want, and certainly not when we want. Most of you know that my wife and I prayed for more than 2 decades that God would give us a place where we could have a children's home. I mean, we prayed and 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 prayed. But it wasn't God's time. And when it was God's time, He gave us this land. Gave it to us. Let me just tell you. They're not giving away land like this today. And they weren't back when they gave it to us. God had perfect timing. And He prepared all the people who were going to be involved. And when we received word that we were getting the land, they said, we want you to have it. We said, you can't imagine What a great answer to prayer this is for us. And they said, you can't imagine what a great answer to prayer it is for us. We've been praying saying, God, what do you want us to do? And now we know why we weren't able to develop the property the way that we planned. For 12 years, they tried to start a conference center and campground here. And God just kept blocking it, blocking it, blocking it. I'm so thankful. Because if they had been successful in what they wanted to do for the Lord, we wouldn't have this property. But God thwarted their plans in order to fulfill His plan. And His plan, when they saw it, brought them joy as well. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. And this man, who had waited all these years, day after day, this man who was lame from birth had been carried there, placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John, he asked them for whatever you can do to help. Nope. He asked them for money. Peter and John said, we don't have any silver or gold. Well, that's disappointing. What a bummer. I'm looking for money. And what you're telling me is you haven't got what I want. Oh, but they did. They just didn't have what he asked for. Did you know that sometimes we ask God for stuff and that's not what God wants to give us? And we're so disappointed. I, every few years, tell about how I had to have the secret agent man briefcase. It was just vitally important to me. It was being advertised on television. I was 8 years old, and the commercials made it look so good. A boy in a trench coat in some kind of lobby, hotel, or whatever, hiding behind a palm tree, using that briefcase to push a button and thereby pretend to take pictures through the side of the briefcase with the fake little plastic pretend camera that was inside the briefcase. You could pretend you were taking pictures. You have no idea, children, how primitive our lives were. I mean, imagine. Now you're going around with a little electronic device, not when you're here, but when you're out there in the world, you're going around and you're looking at that thing and you've got all the information and all the libraries in the world right there available to you on the internet. Isn't that amazing? And you use it to send stupid messages to friends and look at pictures of cats. But I had to have the secret agent man briefcase. Oh, please, Lord, if only my parents weren't so poor. I'm going to take all the money that I get from grandparents for Christmas and from Aunt Macklin and from Aunt Bertus. I'm going to pool my money and I'm going to go and I'm going to buy that secret agent man briefcase. And the prices are always better after Christmas, too. That's when our family did a lot of our Christmas shopping, because stuff got marked down. Yeah, sure, there was only a size 3 and a size 12, but nevertheless, you could get great prices. And I went to the store. Sears Roebuck used to be a big store in America. I went to Sears Roebuck, and I looked at the secret agent man briefcase. And I had apparently matured enormously in just about a month and a half. Because I looked at that thing and I thought, this is ridiculous. This is pathetic. This is a cheap piece of plastic. And what am I going to do? Go to the public library and hide behind potting plants in order to pretend I'm taking pictures? This is ridiculous. I'd look stupid in a trench coat with a briefcase indoors. I mean, that's just dumb. You see, when I was watching the commercial, it looked so exciting. I had to have it. But then with just a very short amount of time, I realized what a waste that would have been. And so I bought something else that I can't even remember now. Most of the stuff we chase after, most of the stuff we think we have to have, most of the stuff that is made to look so good by the folks who make their living making things look good, all goes away. Everything here is going to burn. Global warming? You bet. The elements shall melt with intense heat. But guess what? God had a plan for this man that involved not silver or gold and not just physical healing. It involved learning the truth about who Jesus is and discovering life that is abundant and everlasting. This man was told by Peter, well, first of all, Peter said, look at us. There's always a command connected with a miracle. Always. Peter said, look at us. And so he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold. That's interesting. Apparently, Peter was not into the prosperity gospel and hadn't learned the lessons of TV and radio preachers about how to be financially rich. If you're God's child, you ought to have lots of silver and gold, right? And you can wear a bunch of it in the pulpit. Sorry. Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you, if Jesus came in here physically this morning, just the door swung open and he walked down the aisle and somehow you knew inside, it's him! And he said, what do you want? What would it be? Think for a minute. If God said, I'll give you whatever you ask for, what would you ask for?
There's this really cool pair of sneakers that's just come out. I'd really like a pair of those.
Is that it?
I wish I was about 4 inches taller.
Really? That's it?
I want physical health.
This guy's about to get that.
I want physical health, please. If I could just, I've got all these ailments, okay? If I could just be rid of all of that and be physically healthy, then I'd be happy.
Really? That's it? The only thing that's going to last forever is your relationship with Jesus. Everything else goes away. And what I long for more than anything else, in the words of the Apostle Paul, is that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. I want to know Jesus better. It's what I long for. I want to love him with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I want to do his will. I want to please him. I want to hear him say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my longing. And I hope that more and more it will be yours. Peter said, such as I have, what I do have, I give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Now, if you could just freeze frame right there, that would seem kind of cruel. You know? Look at me. What I have, I give you. And then he asks him to do the impossible. He first asks him to do something possible. Look at me. Then he asks him to do something impossible. Is this a joke? How can God ask us to do something that in our own strength we can't do? Because God wants us to depend upon His strength. God wants us to discover what He can do in and through us that is beyond anything we could produce if we applied all of our energies to doing it. God says to us, be holy, for I am holy. Oh, God, I have tried. Don't you think I've tried? Haven't you seen me try? You know I've tried. How can I be holy? It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness in which I am robed. And God declares me righteous on the basis of the perfect righteousness of Jesus. I can't achieve that. But I can grow in conformity to the likeness of Christ so that more and more and more I'm being made like Him.
Pastor, do you believe it's possible to have a really deep supernatural experience whereby you then become sinless?
No. Not in this life. I've known some people who thought that they were sinless. It's called delusional thinking. But even though I'm not sinless, I sin less. I'm not all I will be, but I'm not what I was. God is in the process of changing me. Thanks be to God. So, He takes the man by the right hand and He raised him up to his feet, and instantly his feet and ankles became strong. And at that, the man jumped. And he began walking and jumping and praising God and holding on to Peter and John. I was like, dude, how did you do that? He didn't really say dude. But it says he was holding on to them. And I would imagine he said something that would be roughly equivalent to dude back in the day. He was just amazed. This is the crazy. How long had this guy been lame? From birth. He'd never walked before. I remember when our oldest son was first able to stand with braces that went all the way up to here. He had a little thing called a parapodium that enabled him to be in a standing position to stimulate bone growth. Because of a problem with his spine, the signals from his brain didn't reach his legs, and therefore he couldn't walk. And he still can't at age 41. But I remember our excitement and his about his being able to stand upright and use parallel bars to swing that parapodium along. One of these days, my son is going to walk and leap And he's already started praising God. Why? Why, Lord, would you let somebody be this way from birth? Because God was about to demonstrate that Jesus is the Messiah and he's alive. And sometimes he does that through miraculous healing. And sometimes he does it through financial miracles. And sometimes he does it through somebody who cannot walk, praising God and saying, you know, this life is short. And I'm looking forward to being at home with my real father. You and I don't always get what we want the way we want when we want it. But we better learn that God is in the process of doing what is for our good and for the glory of his name. So, when this guy was healed, it attracted quite a crowd. Because everybody knew this guy. It was like if a billboard came down off of the stand and started walking around, the characters came alive. Everybody had seen that. They'd seen him, they'd seen him, they'd seen him, they'd given money to him. And here's that guy. You could look at his legs and tell he couldn't walk. They were shriveled. And now, they're healed. Wow. What happened? Peter and John said, it's not us. It's Jesus. Why are you looking at us as if we did this by our own power or godliness? That's not the case. It's Jesus. Folks, that's the way we need to bear witness to Christ. Don't try and give people the impression that something. Yeah, it's just the way I roll. No. No, you roll in the dirt. If you're a Christian, Jesus is the one who gets the glory. And so they pointed them to the fact that Jesus was alive and that Jesus' death and resurrection was the fulfillment of God's promises. And Peter was not shy about calling them to account and saying, you crucified him. You betrayed him. You refused him. You chose a murderer over him. Peter was very confrontational. And then he says, but I know you did it in ignorance, and so now God is giving you the opportunity to repent. Boy, God give us more preachers like that. Not afraid to call sin, sin. Not afraid to tell people, you did an evil thing. But God even uses that to accomplish his purpose. He works all things together for our good and for his glory. And so he quotes from the scriptures and he quotes from the scriptures and he quotes from the scriptures and he points them to Jesus. Repent and trust him. Because he's alive and he's coming again. It's all right there in that passage. And now here come the temple police. I mean, does that sound like a joke? Okay? The police, who are supposed to protect the place where God dwells, come running, and the Sadducees, who were theological liberals and didn't believe in miracles and didn't believe in angels and didn't believe in heaven and didn't believe in the resurrection, they come running. And they're upset because these people are saying that the resurrection's real. Well, all the Pharisees believed the resurrection was real. They didn't trust Jesus, but they knew the resurrection was real because God had promised it. And the Sadducees are saying, no, you're taking the Bible too literally. And we got to put a stop to this. We got to stop this before this ignorance spreads. The people don't know better. They're going to listen to this. And so we got to shut it down. And what do? They seized them, chapter 4, verse 3, and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. So these guys are going to spend the night in lockup. For what? For being used by God to work a miracle so that everybody can see. This guy who was crippled is now walking. We're not going to deal with that. We're not going to face the facts. You remember what the chief priests did when they found out that Jesus had risen from the dead? They didn't repent. They paid the guards to say, we fell asleep and his disciples came and stole the body. How do you know if you were asleep? Okay? That's a dumb lie. But there's still foolish people out there today clinging to it. Let me tell you something. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he is coming again, and you better be ready. You better be ready. Because when he comes again, you don't get a second chance. It's not an opportunity then to say, okay, now I believe. No, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. And Jesus is coming again. And I want you to be ready. You say, well, I feel like I'm being asked to do something that's impossible. Yeah. In one sense, you are. But it's not impossible with God. It's not impossible with God. And I'm pleading with you. While you have the opportunity, repent and believe the good news. Ask Jesus to save you. And he will. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace. Thank you for loving us when we were completely unlovable. Thank you for being willing to pay the price and bear the wrath that we deserved. Thank you, Lord. Help us to really trust you and to obey. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.